This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Good evening, Australia. Michael James here with Chris Owen, John P. Wintle.
Hello.
Hello.
I bet you that time.
You always do that. How dare you?
It's a bit of a competition, I think, boys.
I know.
we've got an interesting show tonight, haven't we, John? Why don't you take it over and introduce who we've got on tonight?
Oh, and you do know how much I like driving, Michael James. Yes, so this evening we've actually got a very talented guest, Lana Wolf, joining us in the studio.
I'm very excited to speak to her tonight.
Lana Wolf is a spoken word poet.
Yes.
And she gave me a bit of a sample of her abilities the other day, and oh my God, it was like velvet on the ears. She was just tickling my brain, so it was very cool, and I'd like to share that with you guys today.
Oh, definitely. I think that's a good review there. She's sitting very patiently in the studio, and we'll get to her interview a little bit later. But we are speaking to Lana Wolf. Very excited, as I said. A bit of inspiration, I think, that might come out of tonight. So you can get in contact with us on air at joy.org.au. You can call Robert at the front desk and say hi, or say hi to us at 1300-JOY-949. And don't forget to text us on 0427-JOY-949.
And, of course, for those guys who are on our social media, come and find us. Facebook.com/purplespeech. Hit the like button because we want to like you back.
And get involved. We do shout outs. Chris, I want to talk about your mate.
My mate?
Your mate, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, what? My mate, you know Kim Kardashian.
She broke the internet.
Did she? That's what I want to ask. Chris, so what are your opinion on her full frontal, semi-fake, semi-real pictures that she posted recently?
I don't get it. For somebody who I followed in media since the tape that made her famous, per se.
Hang on. I don't know about this tape. I've lived under a rock. What is this, like a
bit of a Paris Hilton
tape? Okay.
So she made one of those, and I've been following her and watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, of course. And about three seasons ago, she posed for a particular magazine naked, and she did about three episodes where she bawled and said she'd never pose nude again, she'd never do this and she'd never do that. And lo and behold, cut to 3 years later and she's done it again. So
why do you think she's done it?
Well, can I just chuck something in the ring? I think it's the Paris Hilton publicity model. Sorry, Chris,
what do you mean by that?
The Paris Hilton publicity model is pretty much any news is good. Mm-hmm. Any
publicity is good publicity, is that what they say?
Anything in the media is good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people out there that go with that, but I just think with Kim Kardashian, I think that she's not growing as a person at all.
What kind of role model do you think she's given to young girls?
She's not.
Is there a role model message there?
I don't think that there's a role model message there at all. If that was my little sister, I would have very stern words to her.
And I think what I don't understand too is the champagne going over her head. Is that necessary?
I think the whole thing was unnecessary, and I think she's just grasping at straws to remain relevant. Because she's not relevant at this moment. She's not doing anything.
The fake rumors have now started. The photos are Photoshop. They're fake. They're not real. Where are the stretch marks?
The thing is, she's
had children.
Yeah, well, the thing is, she's been, since day one, in any photo, there's been rumors of her photoshopping her own video or her own photos and making her bum bigger than what it actually is, and all of that kind of jazz. It's like Beyonce, who will post videos or like photos on her Instagram, and there's talk of her photoshopping her own photos. So I guess it's just one of those things where I don't think Kim Kardashian.
I put this out to our listeners, you know, was there a point? There was nothing to do with the campaign. It's got nothing to do with breast cancer or a charity. It's got nothing to do with just her wanting to brave the internet.
Exactly.
Why?
That's all it was. There was nothing.
It's just another act to
be relevant, and she's not relevant.
And now she wants to buy an island off Queensland.
Go for gold, Kim.
$5 billion. $5 billion.
Sorry, I find that funny.
By that kind of money, I would just... not buy an iPhone.
Unfortunately, it's not her money.
Anyway, we're not ones to judge, but let us know what you think on airandjoy.org.au. What do you think of the Kim Kardashian photos? Have you seen them? I want to know.
Well, I think as well, if you've seen any really good send-ups of the photo in question,
oh, yes, then a couple of those.
Tell us about those as well. I actually want to see, because I've heard that there are...
There's a horse one.
I was waiting. I didn't know whether you were going to bring that up or not, but yeah, there is a horse one.
There's a horse one. There's a few. There's a fruit one as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. This is a PG show, so we'll keep it PG friendly.
I was going to ask.
We are moving right along, boys. We are speaking a lot tonight, not just to Lana Wolf, but also we are talking about Movember, John, a topic close to you.
That's right. I've got a bit of a caterpillar being groomed on my upper lip. Unfortunately,
is that what that is?
Shut up,
I
Chris-o.
Can't even, bro.
It's a bit
mine's
blonde.
Mine's just bum fluff.
It's a bit blonde. It's a bit ginger. Okay. Yes, I do have ginger in my family, Chris-o. Stop laughing. And so, it's, you know, it's not really the best. Pretty. Today is what, the 17th of November? I'm like over halfway and I've got a barely noticeable mo.
Yeah.
We will go into much more detail very soon about it. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. But coming up next, we are speaking to Lana Wolf live in the studio. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. And if you just want to have fun, do you? Keep listening to Joy 94.9.
And the show that has all the fun, it is Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James, John P. Wintle and Chris O. We're still here.
Yes, we are.
Yes,
just
somewhat.
Checking. Just checking.
Sorry, there was a
someone
delay.
Else is also here is our next guest live in the studio, Lana Wolf, a spoken word performer. Lana uses everyday experiences of life to understand herself and the world around her, creating performance poetry. Lana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We're excited to have you. Now, speaking of poetry, you've got some. You've got one now, actually, for us that you're going to read.
Yes.
So do you want to introduce it and get stuck into it?
Sure. This poem is called Dear Butchers, and it's a poem that I wrote really exploring the interconnection between homophobia and internalized homophobia.
Oh, sounds excellent. Well, take it away when you're ready.
Dear Butchers, I've always been drawn to you as a little girl crushing on you at school. I knew there was something special about you. As I grew, I became entranced by the songs of the Indigo Girls, Melissa Etheridge and K.D. Lang. Not Butchers, all of them, but even then, before my body was grown enough to know what it craved, even then I felt your pull. I must confess, though I loved you, I also knew there was something other about you too. My friends would often say there's two of them as you walked by with your lover, them. So I grew to think of you as a foreigner outside the us of my safe little prison. I could never be like you, I thought. I could never be a them. So as I grew, and it pains me to tell you, I actively othered you. I used butch as an adjective and a derogatory one at that, fearing that my similarities to you, my attraction to you, could be seen on the surface. I distanced myself. I even had a little phrase I would say in a deep, mocking voice. Oh, how ashamed I am now when I would try on a piece of clothing that felt too masculine for me. I would say, this is a little much butch. Announcing much with a long new sound, so it rhymed with butch. I only had to say those words too, much butch, and my friends would go into fits of laughter. That laughter was at you. I am so sorry, so very, very sorry. You see, this is what fear can do to a person. I, a sensitive and loving teenager at the time, wouldn't have dreamt of hurting anyone. Yet here I was, casually ripping apart an identity that struck too close to home, that made visible my most intimate and private feelings, and too afraid that I would become a them, I attacked you. But for all the wrongs I did to you, dear butchers, you have shown me nothing but love in return. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me that all masculinity needn't be feared, needn't be male, needn't be misogynist. Thank you for wearing your love on your cuff-linked sleeves. Thank you for your bravery, your bruises and your buzz cuts. Thank you for standing up for me when big, burly men try to intimidate me, for standing in front of me when those same burly men say they can screw the lesbian out of me. The world has not been kind to you, and for a time in my life, I was a part of that. Thank you for forgiving me, for shattering my us's and them's, and for welcoming me home. But most of all, thank you for teaching me that there's no such thing as too much butch.
Oh, thank you.
Yay!
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Where did something like that inspire from?
I suppose a lot of it is inspired from my life. And, you know, for me, very much had to battle that homophobia, internalized homophobia. And for me, life is about learning from it, about growing from it, about, you know, trying to create a world that's a better world than, you know, what we leave it after every single day. And I thought it was something that, you know, I really wanted to write something that kind of dealt with the issue but and was really honest, but also give my gratitude to all the women out there that are essentially the face of lesbianism. Like butchers, you know, their closet's pretty much made out of glass. They are, you know, for lesbians, the face of our community, and mm-hmm. they do cop a lot of slack. Mm. So, yeah.
That's true. I've never actually thought about it that way.
Yeah. So, well, you know, same with men that are more feminine. You know, they're the ones that are the face of the gay community. They're the ones that, you know, most of the homophobic laws that have been put into place over time have been targeted against. They're the ones that most of the abuse goes towards as the face of our community, for right or wrong, in terms of being the face of our community.
Yeah.
You know, our communities are much more diverse than that. But, you know, people do tend to target the most visible of our communities.
Definitely. And I think it's also, like, for, like, television shows, for example, they will always have, you know, the token, you know, gay or lesbian character, and will always be the really over-feminine gay male or the overly butch lesbian character. It'll never be... you know, the other way around, I guess. So I guess it's one of those things that I guess I haven't really thought about it until now. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I mentioned before in the intro that you are a performance poetry writer as such. Do you want to explain to our listeners a little bit about what that is and how you got into it?
Sure. Well, actually how I got into it is I have an activist background, and I would write these amazing, gorgeous speeches about things that were really important, and the same 50 people would come to rallies and hear me speak and they would already agree with me. And then I moved to Melbourne, and when I first got here a couple of years ago, I found the Centre of Poetics and Justice and went along to one of their workshops and started writing, and since then I caught the poetry writing bug.
Oh, I think it's easy to catch.
Bloody Melbourne.
You're in the right city for that. What motivates you to write?
Mostly my life experiences and things around me and the things that piss me off.
Such as?
Like homophobia.
And obviously internalized homophobia as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that not so much pissed me off, but gave me a lot of distress.
Yeah.
And something that, you know, don't want that. So let's kind of rally against it.
Yeah. So, Lana, do you find that your writing is like an outlet for you know, some of these strong emotions that you have?
To some degree, a little bit, certainly, but also it's the opportunity to be able to say these kind of things to people that wouldn't necessarily expect it. You know, I perform, for example, in pubs and, you know, people going down for their, you know, pot of beer, and all of a sudden they're hearing this poetry that's about, you know, knocking down homophobia or racism or sexism or whatnot, and they're like, oh, you know, it kind of forces people that wouldn't necessarily hear it to hear it. And
it's done in a fun way. I mean, from that reading, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, say or tell somebody how you feel. It's quite another to actually have them listen interactively and take in what you're saying. Because 9 times out of 10, I mean, it's not done in a, I guess for me, it's not done in a fun way per se, where I'm like, okay, I get what you're trying to get across. But for that, and for what you just did, I was intrigued by what are you going to say next? So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, certainly it gives people an opportunity to be able to stop and listen in ways that is more receptive.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, it's as if the, just carrying on from that, like the rhythm that you use within your poetry is almost mesmerizing, and it is almost impossible for me to resist not to hear what you're saying.
You're listening to a message without actually realizing you're listening to a message, which is what I enjoy.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
A lot of people tell me that they find my poetry very lyrical.
Mm. If you've got a question for Lana, let us know on air at joy.org.au. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Lana, have you ever been a victim of bullying yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In what way?
Oh, in most ways.
So you sounded really excited. Yes, I have been. Yes.
Well, you know, no, I haven't.
Something you want to share with us?
It's quite interesting. Like, one example is in high school, I went to an all-girls school, and before I even realised I liked girls, before, you know, my sexuality had bloomed into my consciousness, I was being bullied and being called a lemon.
A lemon.
That's what they call girls that like girls. Oh,
such an awful word too.
It is.
I've never actually heard that one until now.
Yeah.
It must have been a Queensland thing maybe. I don't know.
I know. It's in Tasmania. Okay. Trust me. It's dead.
Yeah. So one example, you know, I knew that I wasn't overly interested in boys. You know, they were, I thought, pimply and smelly. but the, you know, the attraction I had to girls was something that I didn't realise was an attraction as such. I just thought that was so cool. And, you know, so I didn't realise. And yet I was bullied. And, you know, one example,
How was it something that, how did you cope with it? Did you seek support or found that there was support for you?
Oh, goodness, no. Not at all. Trying to deny it to everyone else, including myself.
Is that something that obviously you would change now?
Oh, yeah.
If you had the chance?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But even also particularly listening to last week's show, there was one particular way in which I was bullied because I come from an islander background and my hair, I get a really bad afro. And I was called Dunny Brush.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, it was horrible. And there was this one other girl that had hair similar to mine and she was called Pubes.
No, it's
really terrible and really horrible bullying in private girls' schools. But I always felt really bad that I never stuck up for this girl, even though I was bullied as well. I didn't want to be called out and, you know, get even more kind of. And yet I feel to this day quite shameful that I didn't stick up for her.
Do you find that any of your previous bullying comes through your poetry now?
All the time. Well, not all the time, but yeah, I've just written another one that is about that. Yeah.
Where can we go to find out more about you?
Oh, you can look up my my web address, lanawolfspokenword.com.au. That's Lana, L-A-N-A, Wolf, W-O-O-L-F. Or you can look me up on Facebook, Lana Wolf, Spoken Word Artist.
We'll put all those links on our Facebook page. Lana, you're going to stick around. We've got a few more topics to discuss. You went on the
Ride to Pride.
Ride to Pride train.
Yes, I did.
You're going to tell us all about that?
Yes. I went on the train. I had fun. I went to out in the open and I actually performed there as a poet as well as a Joy representative because I'm one of your co-hosts on Worldwide Waves.
You are a bit of a plug there.
And what, yes. time is that on?
That is on at, what time is that on? 7 o'clock every Tuesday night, taking you around the world one country at a time.
And you are currently listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. We're going to be back with Lana and some more topics. You don't forget, email us on airandjoy.org.au. We'll be right back.
Click on the podcast tab via the new Joy website for the best of Joy. joy.org.au.
Good evening, Australia. You are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9, and good on you, because we're about to talk about Movember. Michael James here, John P. Wintle, Chris O., and Lana Wolf.
Woo!
Woo. Full studio tonight, boys and girls.
And I must say that it's a little bit scratchy around my top lip region this evening, Michael James.
Now, speaking of scratchy lips, John, don't know where I'm going with this, but we are talking about Movember. It's a very important cause, and it's very important to you, John, because you recently found a lump.
Yes, that's right. I was doing a personal inspection of myself, which I do regularly. And I came across. Hang on, this is a serious
topic.
So I did come across a lump in my manly region, which was terrifying. Can I say? So anyway, like this probably happened a couple of months ago, and I kind of, for want of a better word, Chriso, I want you to not laugh, but I sat on it for a little while.
What sort of thoughts were running through your mind after having discovered a lump?
Well,
in an area that would obviously be of concern.
Okay, so my first thought was panic, and I did for maybe a day, and then I went straight to Google Doctor.
Bad.
And then
is there a reason why you didn't go straight to your doctor?
I think fear, and I kind of convinced myself that I was too busy to do it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's important because there's probably others out there that might have that same thought process.
Yeah, and I do know what? If you listen to previous podcasts of the show that we have put on joy.org.au/purple-speech, you'll see that I've mentioned a few times, there's references in what I've spoken about being afraid of being seen as vulnerable.
Yep.
And that's like a real problem for me. And I think a lot of other men might share that same problem. Like it's a natural instinct, I think, just to not want to make yourself vulnerable. So I'm learning now by making myself vulnerable actually makes me
stronger.
Yeah.
So what's the update?
Well, the update is that I had the lump checked out, and I had so many different like people looking at my junk. It was just ridiculous, let me just tell you. And I probably shouldn't have called it junk because now Chriso's laughing again. But you know what, that bit was a bit embarrassing, but getting to the end of the medical investigation and finding out that it wasn't anything serious.
So it's not cancerous.
It's not cancerous, which is great. I still need to have a procedure done to it, but mm-hmm. it's not cancerous. Thank goodness for that. But I think if it was cancerous, the situation was different and it did get diagnosed and my story wasn't, as happy ending as it was now. I can only imagine that leaving it for a couple of months could only just make the matter worse. Mm-hmm. Like these things do tend to grow, they do get worse over the time.
And they can become life-threatening.
Yes.
And this is why Movember is so important. And having a scare like that you've gone through, John, will naturally open your eyes to the topic.
And this for me, this Movember was a bit of a reverse scenario. So I'd actually had like an unshaven face for probably about 2 years. And Movember is what caused me to shave my face for the first time in a long time. And also to not have anybody recognize that I have a moustache. It's now,
I did recognize it.
It is now the 17th. And my hairdresser, Greek hairdresser, has advised me when I got my cut a couple of days ago that, and thank you for your compliments on my haircut, guys. Thank you for noticing.
Oh.
He told me that I needed to go march into the chemist and get myself some dye for my top lip.
Use mascara.
I was saying mascara, but it's kind of a bit lame.
So. We'll just take some photos, I think, put them on our Facebook page for our listeners.
And do you know what? If anyone else out there is giving Movember a go, like, send us some photos. Like, really, I'd love to see your support.
One of our regular listeners, Auntie McManus, has actually started one of the campaigns and has raised, I think, over $1,000 now.
Yeah, he hit his target.
Hit his target of $1,000. So, I think it's gone over. So, good on him.
It's gone over.
But there's many of you out there that are doing it. Congratulations. Movember is such an important cause, not just for men's health, but also mental health as well. You can always go to beyondblue.com. We'll speak to Lifeline at 1311. Actually, I've just gone blank.
Oh, my goodness.
1322, isn't it?
Yes. Or always in emergency contact 000. It is such an important cause. And you can, of course, go to www.au.movember.com for all the Movember information. There's heaps of people out there that you can donate to or just donate to the cause as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, especially on Facebook, that's a big social media that people are
promoting. This is the first year I haven't done it, so I'm a little bit upset that I didn't do
it. You have to just shave your beard.
On Wednesday, and I already have a... Friday, and I've already got a full beard again, so...
Oh, you'll be great at Movember. But, again, I was going to say, you know, as you said, John, you know, you did get that scare, so, you know, it must be a lot more close to you this year than, as you said.
Yeah, so nothing is worse than that feeling that there's something wrong with you and you don't know what it is. Like, guys, if any lesson I could share with you right now, if you do find something in, you know, your manly region or your lady region or whatever region, and you find something that doesn't feel or look right, make sure you go to a doctor and get it checked out.
Don't Dr. Google. If I can say anything, Dr. Google is probably one of the worst things that you can possibly do, because a lot of the stuff on the internet is not
and fear
correct,
doesn't help.
And that's just going to fuel your fear.
I do have to just say our lifeline number is 13 11 14. I do apologise for that. So if you need someone to talk to, there is a training council on the other end. Lifeline on 13 11 14 or lifeline.org.au. Of course, you can contact Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or beyondblue.org.au. We'll put all those links onto our Facebook page. But there is someone that you can speak to. You're not alone, so don't feel alone. And I think, John, what you said before about being vulnerable, I think that's important. I think a lot of guys out there would feel vulnerable and don't want some unknown person maybe touching their penis or that area, so they would be afraid to want to
and
unfortunately, you know, your health does have to come first.
Look, Michael, it's not a gender specific thing either. I think girls out there as well that might be scared to go get, you know, themselves checked out, but Movember is, you know, it is a man thing, because, you know, so many men suffer from cancer and also depression. So Beyond Blue, I want to call that out you know, as one of the organizations that,
and I think too, very
we
important,
donate to.
Definitely, and I think very important too, don't wait till November to, and I'm going to say the word, touch yourself. You know, you should always be checking and you should always be aware of, you know, if things do change down there,
exactly,
because cancer can spread and it can kill.
You're the only person that knows your body inside out. So even if you think that, you know, you're going to know if there's something that doesn't feel right. So don't be afraid to go to the doctor, even if it's nothing, just to go, this doesn't feel right, and just get checked and make sure. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you don't want to be that person that says, I should have got that checked out a week ago.
Definitely. This is our 20th show for our listeners that may not be aware.
Happy birthday.
In 20 weeks to us.
Oh,
we'll milk every time that we can. But what's more important is it's Joy's 21st birthday next week. And we're celebrating it for 2 weeks in a row, because our show actually falls on the 1st of December, which is Joy's actual 21st. But we'll start the celebration next week and milk it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They deserve it. Because do you know that Joy is only one of four full-time LGBT stations in the world and the oldest gay and lesbian radio station in the world?
Wow.
Yeah.
I do now.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely amazing. And as a part of Worldwide Waves, I did a interview with someone from Kazakhstan last week. And when I was doing the email introduction, they went, a gay and lesbian radio station? That sounds like something out of science fiction.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
Yeah, because it's just something that I've never even considered, let alone heard of.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's celebrate.
And a big shout out to our Canadian and USA listeners as well that are listening.
Oh, hello.
So I'm always down to celebrate. Everybody that knows me, always down
to we'll be celebrating for the next 2 weeks. So we can't reveal too much just yet, but we've got some very special guests coming up over the next 2 weeks to help celebrate the 21st birthday. So check our Facebook page for information on that. But stay tuned in. We have much more to come. You're listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station. Joy 94.9.
Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're looking for people to join our team as program audio producers responsible for podcasting Joy 94.9's diverse range of weekly programs. Get involved, meet new people and learn new skills. Join the biggest community radio contributor of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels welcome, no prior knowledge of audio production required. Training is free for Joy members. Visit the volunteer vacancies page at joy.org.au for more information. The Joy 94.9 program production team, powering Joy podcasts, any show, anytime, online, joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Anthony Clear. You're listening to Joy, Melbourne's very own gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Hip hip, you're gay!
And hip hip hooray, because it's Joy's... Sorry, John's just phoned me on that one. You are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James, I was going to say Tim Campbell, but it's Chris O. John P. Wentle and Anna Wolf all joining me here in the studio. That was Tim Campbell introducing us and Anthony Clear. Speaking of which, they just got illegally wed.
Yes.
Well, no, actually, no, sorry, illegal. It was in New Zealand. Yes.
Legal.
But it's illegal here.
No. In New South Wales last week, they passed legislation to say that they needed to recognise marriages from overseas for our LGBTI community. So if they live in New South Wales...
They live in Victoria.
Oh, well, it's
yeah,
illegal.
They live around the corner from me. so that's why I know...
Congratulations, guys.
Congratulations, right. Definitely. We've seen the pictures on all the magazines. So congratulations to them. They have secretly tied the knot, surrounded by friends and family, which I reckon would have been a beautiful ceremony.
Yeah, congratulations. Great work if you're listening.
They did travel to New Zealand where the same-sex marriage is recognised over there, and they said their vows in front of their parents and a couple of the closest friends. Just reading off some news here, the Australian Idol singer shared his exciting news via social media this morning, posting the below photo of the pair, which we'll put on our Facebook page where you can see it all over social media. They said it was a lot of fun, big cocktail party. They've spoken to many media outlets. Look good on them. Good on from doing it. I think it's putting the message out there. And it's just showing that support, and you know that it really should just become legal everywhere.
Mm. Yes,
exactly, absolutely.
So
that was just.
I thought you guys were going to go somewhere with that, but no. Okay, we have reached out to Anthony and Tim, so hopefully we'll be able to get them on our show soon and ask them all the questions that I know you're dying to ask in regards to the lucky couple.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you're listening, come on our show. We want to talk to you. That's just me being subtle. Don't roll your eyes at me, John.
Okay, sorry. it's been one of those nights, Michael. I can't help but start just a little bit.
It's just... Lana, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been great, and I'm sure we're going to get you on...
Again.
Probably on
Guys, can I just say, Lana has been the candle on our 20th episode cake.
She
today.
Has.
Today. She's you. Been a fabulous literary candle on our, you know, our pink marshmallow
purple cake.
Our purple cake.
Is one of my favourite colours.
Oh, you're in the right. You're in the right purple. Team. You're in the right studio, the right show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like this.
So
I like this.
Just thing. In case you were wondering, yes, my brain has switched off at this point. So I'll just hand it over to Chris. So we're doing really well. Next week is Joy's 21st birthday, week one, and we're dragging this out for 2 weeks because, like I said, December 1st is Joy's actual 21st, which our show falls on. So we'll be celebrating for 2 weeks in a row. We've got some special guests lined up, haven't we, John?
Yeah. And I was just wondering, Michael, so it's Joy's 21st birthday. What were you doing when you were 21?
What was I doing when I was 21? I wasn't doing anything special.
I'm sure Chris...
Where are you going with this, John?
No, I'm just asking a random question.
8 minutes to midnight. 8 minutes to nine, rather.
So I was just thinking, like, myself, like, when I was 21, that's like in scrolling, like... You know, handprints on a cave wall or something.
Before iPhone days.
Yeah. No, I'm not that bad. But
we were chipping away at stone when you were 21, yeah?
Well, let's just put it this way. There was no such thing as mobile phones, okay? Like, my first mobile phone that I got, it was in a frickin' briefcase. And that was as mobile as it got. So, that's kind of where my age was. So, let's
just... Did you have a good 21st?
Yeah, it was a bit tragic, actually. So I had this big party and my mum spiked the punch, which was a disaster.
Your mum spiked the punch.
And then she, like, everyone in my 21st birthday decided to leave, including my mother, who cleared out of my 21st birthday in the back of a combi with two drag queens. And that is a true story.
Fun.
I'm taking that to the grave.
Dear me. No, but I spent the weekend with a whole train load of drag queens. Really.
You did ride to Pride, didn't you?
Yes. I did, and there was drag queens. I wasn't just being, like, you know, derogatory. There was absolutely drag queens and lots of gay men. You should have been there. Because, you know, you would have had more fun living with them than I did. But it was awesome. It was wonderful. It was great.
You learnt a lot, I hear.
I did learn a lot. I learned a lot about the, subculture of gay men. it was awesome. And out in the open festival was really great as well.
You performed there, didn't you?
I did perform there. And there was lots of great comments from people coming up to me and, you know, really getting a lot out of my poetry. But I think probably the most reflecting on it, and I had a lot of time to reflect because I was there the whole weekend. What I thought was really interesting is that, you know, us, you know, big city folks, we'll go and, like, let them participate in our pride parades or whatever and, you know, give them some space. But I think it's really quite different when we go out there, when we make an effort, when we really consider and, you know, give our time and energy to be in their spaces, I think is really empowering because it's not just for them, but it's about showing the whole broader community, the, you know, regional and rural areas, you know, the mums and dads and kids that we're just normal folk.
Definitely. Lana, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to have you back on soon. So
awesome. Thanks.
If you like it wet, well, the wet spot is coming up next with Sammy. So stay tuned into Joy 94.9. But until next week, guys, thank you.
Thank you very much. I mean, Sanchu Hairy Crutch. I mean, thank you very much.
Yeah, we're out of here. You've been listening to Verbal Speech on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.